Well, praise the Lord. We surely are having a family meeting today. Isn't that a blessing? Just to have a family meeting and have the Father present, watching over all the instructions and all the exhortations, and bringing out of even the mouth of babes and sucklings strength unto all. That's just a blessing to have a family meeting this morning. I'd like you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. I do also greet each one in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are grateful for visitors this morning, many of you. I hope you feel comfortable here. I hope you feel welcome. We do welcome you in Jesus' name. This morning I'd like to speak on this small phrase in the book of Revelation. And yes, I want to direct the message to Brother Ross and his family, although to all of us. There's a very small phrase in the book of Revelation. The phrase, the testimony of Jesus. Have you ever seen that little phrase in the book of Revelation? It's in there many times. Not just once, but many times. It's worthy of note that the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's also worthy of note that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus. You know, for years, when I was in the Baptist church, I didn't understand a lot about the book of Revelation. I always looked at it as a book of prophecy. And although it is that, I feel like the little phrase that begins the book is one of the keys that unlocks the door to the secrets of the book of Revelation. And that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When it dawned on me one day that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, why, all kinds of secrets began to open up for me in the book of Revelation. But I think it's interesting to note that it's in the book of Revelation that this little phrase is found, the testimony of Jesus. And I think it's appropriate that those two go together, the book of Revelation and the testimony of Jesus, because that's what the book of Revelation is. It's the final testimony of Jesus. I'd like us just to turn to chapter 1, and we're going to read this phrase. We're going to page our way through the book of Revelation here as an introduction this morning. Revelation chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. His servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now John knew about the testimony of Jesus. We know that his whole life was filled with being jealous over the testimony of Jesus. When I think of John and I think of the testimony of Jesus, I have to go to those last words there in the book of John. I guess it's his concluding word about Jesus. And he says this, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Now I realize that each one of the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all wrote of the testimony of Jesus, but there's something unusual about the book of John as he wrote about the testimony of Jesus. The others are more of a historical testimony, whereas the book of John is more of an interpretation of how the life and testimony of Jesus unfolded before the apostle John. It's not just a historical record of his miracles and what he said here and what he said there, but rather there's some interpretation that you find in there also in the book of John that is not in the others. And John was filled with the testimony of Jesus, and he gives record to that right here. Going on just a little bit further in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I think it's evident by that this testimony of Jesus Christ is more than just a lip profession. It means more than that. It's not just that John was able to open his mouth and say that Jesus can be your Savior. It was much more than that. This testimony of Jesus that John stood for, it brought him to the Isle of Patmos, exiled, away from the church, away from his brothers and sisters in the Lord. It was for the testimony of Jesus that he was there. Over in Revelation chapter 6. Now we're looking into the future some. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And when he, the angel, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And I think it's safe to assume here that it's the testimony of Jesus. You'll notice how those two go together all the way through the book of Revelation. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And before the message is over, I think that we'll clearly understand that there is a big difference between the word of God and between the testimony of Jesus. There are two things there. John stood for them both. And they, the souls that were around the throne, they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So here we have a scene in heaven, and in the scene of heaven there is a great multitude gathered around the altar, and they are those who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And they're crying unto the Father that He would avenge their blood on the people that are on the earth, and the word is given to them as white robes are put upon them that they should rest for a little while. There's more yet to come who will also give their blood for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Over in Revelation chapter 11, and I'm making application here because the words are not clear, but I think I'm making a safe application. In Revelation chapter 11, we find the two witnesses. Brother Moe spoke about the two witnesses a few weeks ago, but I think it's safe to say that in the Scriptures here in Revelation 11, it says that when they finished their testimony, the two witnesses were placed upon the earth to give a testimony. And I just can't help but believe in my own heart that the testimony that made the whole world so mad was the testimony of Jesus. The thing that made the world so upset at them was the testimony of Jesus. The thing that bothered the world so much is that they, like Stephen, who was just like an angel, who stood and spoke there to the Sanhedrin, and it made them so upset. It was the testimony of Jesus that Stephen was speaking to them, and it made them so upset and so angry that they gnashed upon him with their teeth. I can't help but picture in my own mind those two witnesses giving out the testimony of Jesus and it coming with power upon the hearts of men and women who have turned their hearts away from God, and how upset they are that they wish that they could kill these two witnesses. But the Scriptures here say that that fire will come out of the mouths of those witnesses, and anyone who tries to hurt them before the testimony is finished will be slain by the fire that comes out of their mouth. And if you can just picture all that together, it's the testimony of Jesus. And here the world is once again trying to blot the testimony of Jesus out and shut the mouths of those who carry the testimony of Jesus upon their lips and their heart. But this time they can't stop them, because the mouth of these two witnesses will breathe out fire, and those who try to kill them are slain. And of course we know, as they see that happening, then the world backs away and they must just listen to the testimony of Jesus one last time. And then when their testimony is finished, God allows that they be slain, and they're resurrected there in front of all the world. I believe it's the testimony of Jesus. Over in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And maybe this will give you some insight. It did to me. I'm not preaching "thus saith the Lord," but just I think it'll give you some insight into these verses in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. As we just compare this little phrase as it goes through the book of Revelation, I believe that that God would want to teach us something and open up our understanding this morning to understand clearer just what He means by that little phrase, the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Could it be that's the word of their testimony? Could it be the testimony of Jesus that helped them to overcome? Over to verse 12. We'll read on. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus." Notice that. Oh, if we can just paint a picture before our eyes here this morning, before the eyes of our heart, of the dragon coming after the woman, and the woman being caught up on eagle's wings, and the dragon spewing water out of his mouth trying to destroy the woman. And as the dragon sees that the woman has escaped away, and no, he could not destroy the woman, then in disgust he turns away from that plan and turns all his attention on the people of God, for those who stand and live by the commandments of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And then also in Revelation chapter 19, just giving a little introduction here, Revelation 19 and verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9 also. "And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? Oh, I've read that verse for years. I've read over that verse and I've pondered it and I wondered, what does that mean, Lord? And I don't say this morning that I understand all that it means, but I think I'm getting a little bit of a glimpse of what that verse means. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I looked that up just a little bit, and it means the breath of prophecy. That that in the testimony of Jesus is the breath of prophecy or is the inspiration of prophesying. It comes forth from the testimony of Jesus. And as I studied a little, one commentator also said this, that the possession of the prophetic spirit is known by the testimony of Jesus. Oh, there are a lot of prophets that have gone out into the world in these last days, but the possession of the true prophetic spirit is known by the testimony of Jesus. What comes out of the mouth of those prophets today? Is it the testimony of Jesus or is it something else? If it's not the pure testimony of Jesus, then it's not the spirit of prophecy, my friend. It is not the spirit of prophecy today. And I would have to say this, just judging from my own experiences, that there seems to be an unction, there seems to be a stirring within my own heart when I stop to preach about the testimony of Jesus. Yes, there's an anointing when you teach the Bible, and you can open the Bible and you can teach on the home, and there's an anointing upon the teaching. But there's something different that happens inside this heart of mine when it's time to open up my mouth and speak about Jesus. Somehow it just doesn't come out the same. Somehow I don't seem to need as many notes. When it's the testimony of Jesus, there seems to be a spirit of prophecy that comes upon the heart of those that are willing to open their mouth for Jesus. And I wonder how many of you could also bear the same testimony as you've stood in a park somewhere in an open-air meeting and began to open your mouth, and all of a sudden you discovered that there was an anointing there and there was some prophesying inside your heart that you didn't even know you had in there. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I can't help but just step aside from my message here a little and go back to Aaron's message. And he was speaking about being prepared and being ready to go out and being able to go out into the harvest fields and preach the gospel. Oh, my friend, if you want to be prepared to go out into the fields, you need to go out into the fields now, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I wonder how many men never went to any Bible school, never had any education, never had any formal training at all, but they got up the whole of the Bible and started talking about Jesus, and they learned how to preach, and nobody ever gave them a homiletics class, and nobody ever sat them down and said, now this is what the Bible means. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and you can see those young men standing out on the street corners learning how to preach because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I think I understand just a little bit what it means. Brother Ross, go with the testimony of Jesus to Woodbury. You want to be assured of a blessing on the work in Woodbury and Finger, Tennessee? Let your heart be full of the testimony of Jesus. Let your mouth be full of the testimony of Jesus. Let your meditations be on the testimony of Jesus. And I can assure you there'll be a blessing upon the work in Woodbury, Tennessee. You know, it's interesting. As you ponder the lives of great men, I was meditating about the life of A.B. Simpson, and some of you may not know who that man is, but he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man of God. He was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance movement, and that was back when it was a mighty power upon this earth. But you know, that whole movement got started by a glimpse that that man got into heaven. You know what his glimpse was? Jesus Christ, Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And on those simple four things, the testimony of Jesus was clear upon his heart, and he began to preach that under the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Christian Missionary Alliance movement began, and churches spread out all over this countryside, and missionaries were sent all over the world, because one simple man, without a whole lot of education, got a glimpse of the testimony of Jesus, and all that it means, and all that Jesus means, and he began to preach it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let us not forget this morning That it is through prophesying that the church goes on. That it is through prophesying that the church is motivated to rise and build. It is through prophesying that the walls were built. It is through prophesying that the temple was built there in the Old Testament. It was Haggai and Zechariah who rose up when the people of God were sitting in lethargy and doing nothing and the temple was not being built. It was through prophesying that the temple was built. And I dare to say this morning, if we go back into the types and shadows of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem, that it was the spirit of prophecy. It was the testimony of Jesus that God was jealous over. There was no temple. There was no Jesus. There was no type of Jesus on the earth. There was no walls around Jerusalem, which is the type of the protection of Jesus. And it was the testimony of Jesus that God was burdened over, even in the Old Testament, that caused the spirit of prophecy to come upon Haggai and to come upon Zechariah and to say, consider your ways, Israel. Get out of your fields. Quit building your houses. Forget about your vineyards and go build the house of God. It was the testimony of Jesus that God was jealous over. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy this morning. What is the testimony of Jesus? Well, I think it's evident this morning that it must be more than a simple profession of Jesus. For this country is scattered with 40 million of those. Surely it's not that. If that's the testimony of Jesus, just being able to open your mouth and say Jesus is the Savior, there's 40 million people in this country who claim to have the testimony of Jesus. But I'm telling you, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And where is the prophesying in America? Where is it? Back to the brother's message this morning. The word testimony means to bear witness. Often in the New Testament, the words are traced back and forth. It's the same Greek word, martyrial. It's the word that we get martyr from. That's what the word testimony means. It's martyrial in the Greek, and it's the same word that we get our word martyr from. And we'll see how all that comes together here as the message unfolds. What is the testimony of Jesus then if it's not a simple lip profession? And I know that it's not. I know that it's not that. It doesn't take a whole lot of wisdom to look around us, to look at the America that we live in, to look at the condition of the churches, to look at the life that is there, that you can't hardly see it. It doesn't take long for us to know. Surely the testimony of Jesus is more than a simple profession that Jesus is the Savior. The testimony of Jesus, I want to say this morning, is the gospel that He preached. The testimony of Jesus this morning is the life that He lived. It's the truth that salvation is in Him. The testimony of Jesus is the revelation of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is that Christ can live in us. The testimony of Jesus is all that He did and all that He can do for you. The testimony of Jesus is that He is all you need. The testimony of Jesus is the claims that He made. That's what the testimony of Jesus is. And I'd like to look at a few points here this morning just about the testimony of Jesus. It was very important to John. It was powerful enough and important enough that he was willing to be thrown in a big pot of oil that was boiling. It was powerful enough and more influential enough that he was willing to be exiled on the Isle of Patmos for it. It was powerful enough that it scattered the throne of God with men and women who gave their lives for it. It was powerful enough for that. It was powerful enough that it caused the dragon to turn away from his pursuit after the woman and turn both barrels loose on God's people. What is the testimony of Jesus? First of all, this morning, the testimony of Jesus is the gospel that He preached. If we're going to stand for the testimony of Jesus this morning, we need to stand for the gospel that He preached. The Scriptures are so clear in the Gospels that Jesus went forth preaching the gospel. The gospel is the good news. We know what the gospel is. We know that word gospel means good news. But my friend, the good news that Jesus shared, it shocked the religious world. It shocked them, And it still does today. It even shocked his disciples, the good news that Jesus shared with them. You see, the people in Jesus' day are no different than the people in our day. And they were looking for a nice little good news message about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and Brother Ross, don't take one of those sweet little good news messages down to Woodbury, Tennessee. Take the gospel that Jesus preached. They were shocked by His gospel. They found out by the words that He spoke that there was a price tag on salvation. Oh, what awesome words He shared while He was here upon the earth, while He was preaching the gospel. And remember, He was preaching the gospel. He said words like this: "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Oh, what powerful words. There in His day, "Lord, Lord, 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 Lord." Oh, everybody was running after John the Baptist and then running to come and hear about Jesus. "Lord, Lord, Lord." Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Oh, what kind of good news is this? This is going to cost me something. Yes, Jesus had a multitude that followed Him while they understood a free ticket to heaven, while they understood the Messiah had come, while they understood that the kingdom would be restored unto Israel and the Romans be thrown out. Jesus had a great following in those days. But all the words began to come out of His mouth: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Oh yes, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh yes, you'll find peace and rest for your soul. But oh, that's not the gospel that Jesus preached. Not all of it. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and then you'll find rest for your soul." That's the gospel that Jesus preached. Sell all you have and give to the poor. That's what Jesus preached. That was the gospel that He preached. "Whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." Shall be abased. The gospel that Jesus preached: "Take up the cross and follow me," He said. The gospel Jesus preached: "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." This is the gospel that Jesus preached. And Brother Ross, you take that gospel down to Woodbury, Tennessee. Amen. Carry that one down there. That's the only kind of gospel that's going to change the lives of men and women. Listen, men have scattered themselves across this country for the last 50 years preaching the other sweet little gospel, the sweet little good news message of what Jesus can do. They've scattered themselves all over this country. And look what has happened. Look at the condition that things are in. Oh, listen, there's a need for revival in America. I dare say when revival has come throughout the years of history, it brought a commitment to the people of God. It brought a commitment into their hearts. It brought a strength along with it that caused the gospel to be spread all over the world. We need to make sure that we preach that gospel. The testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? It's the revelation or the unfolding of every stage of His life. If you can just picture with me this morning, the apostles there after Pentecost, when they got busy, oh, their hearts were full of the testimony of Jesus. Oh, how excited they were. So excited they were moved by the Spirit of God to put it down. Not one time, four times. Four times. What did they put down? The testimony of Jesus. The revelation or the unfolding of every stage of His life. That's the testimony of Jesus. How that He was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's the testimony of Jesus this morning. That was the testimony that John had on his heart. That's what he wanted to give the message out to the world, that Jesus was from the beginning. But not only was He from the beginning, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was the testimony of Jesus. the testimony of Jesus, the unfolding of His life. How He was born of a virgin. How He grew in wisdom. How He waxed strong in spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him even as a little child. That's the testimony of Jesus. How that at the age of 12, coming to full accountability, knowing exactly what His Father's will was and wanting to be about His Father's business, He submitted Himself under the authority of His Father and Mother, His earthly Father. That's the testimony of Jesus, and there He stayed until it was time for Him to appear unto Israel. And there the testimony of Jesus, we can hear the testimony of Jesus. We can hear the spirit of prophecy coming out of John the Baptist as Jesus comes walking by the river Jordan, and John the Baptist speaks out the words as if he knew who he was. How did he know who he was? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and out of John the Baptist's mouth go the words, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And all the eyes are turned toward Jesus. See Him there as He walks to the river Jordan and says, "I need to be baptized." And down into the water He goes. And there He is baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible says that the heavens were opened up and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the testimony of Jesus, my friend, this morning. The unveiling of His very life. The testimony of Jesus. How that He walked for 3.5 years upon the earth, and He lived a life before men, a life that was spotless, a life that was pure and holy, a life that was perfect before His Father. How He went about doing good things wherever He went. How He reached out and healed the lame and made the sick well again and cast devils out of those that were oppressed of demons. That's the testimony of Jesus. The mighty works of Jesus while He was here upon the earth during His ministry. That's the testimony of Jesus. But not only that, but how that He was taken there in the Garden of Gethsemane and brought before the judgment hall and condemned to die by the very words of Israel, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." Yes, that's the testimony of Jesus, and how that He submitted Himself and walked up Golgotha's hill there and laid Himself down upon the cross, and there being lifted up above the earth and being lifted up between God and between men, there He hung, blood coming down off of His hands and out of His feet, and later by the piercing of the sword through His side, blood and water came flowing out, and there as He's on the cross and He looks down upon those who did crucify Him and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." There's the testimony of Jesus, how that God became man and walked upon the earth, and there was crucified on the cross and shed His blood, not man's blood, but the precious blood of Jesus was spilled out there on Calvary, and that blood has the power to save the souls of men today. And all who will take the courage to rise up and preach that simple gospel will see the power of God work in the lives of men and women. That's the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the unfolding of His life while He was here upon the earth. But it doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. There they took Him off of that cross and they put Him in a grave. And there He laid for 3 days in the grave. But at the end of those 3 days, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, and that's part of the testimony of Jesus, that God raised up His Son Jesus by the power of the resurrection, and God can do the same things in the lives of other people. That's the testimony of Jesus. But that's where we're not done yet. The testimony of Jesus goes on, and how that He was seen of men 40 days and walked upon the earth and there taught them and opened up their understanding, and they beheld things that they did not understand before as He shared with them the truths out of Isaiah and the truths concerning Himself and the truths concerning the kingdom of God. And there as He stood on the Mount of Olives and gave the last words to the disciples and gave them the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, He ascended up to the Father, and there He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And that's part of the testimony of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, brothers and sisters, because after 10 days there at the right hand of the Father, the Spirit of God was given and was poured out upon the church. And that's where we come with Pentecost, and the Spirit of God was poured out on the church there at Pentecost, and what do you think came out of the mouths of all those disciples? But the testimony of Jesus. They went everywhere sharing all the wondrous things about Jesus under the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God. That's the testimony of Jesus, and how that He's still alive and working in the lives of men and women who are willing to repent of their sins and turn to God through the blood of Jesus. That's the testimony of Jesus. Now we can begin to see why John got in so much trouble. Brother Ross, take that testimony with you. Take that one along. What is the testimony of Jesus? The testimony of Jesus is also this, that salvation is in Him. Oh, listen, Satan is trying to stop the mouths of God's people from saying that salvation is in that Jesus that we just talked about. Oh, what an exciting thing to hear about Jesus and how He came and how He lived and how He died and how He rose from the dead. Oh, the devil wants to stop the mouths of those who will take then that testimony and carry it further and say, if you'll turn to Jesus, you can be saved from your sins. That's the testimony of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins. That's the testimony of Jesus this morning. I believe that's the testimony that the Apostle John found himself on the Isle of Patmos for. That's the testimony that those saints found themselves martyred for. That's the testimony that the serpent was so angry about, and he turned and all of his forces loose on the seed of the woman who kept the commandments of God, and the testimony of Jesus. And if I could just separate those two a little bit for us now here in the middle of the message. And I think it's very applicable to where we live here in Lancaster County. Oh, there's a lot of people in this county who are living by some of the Word of God. But what about the testimony of Jesus? Oh, yes, they'll stand for the truth of the covering, and they'll stand for non-resistance, and they'll stand for many different things that are in the Bible. But what about the testimony of Jesus? In the land. God's people in the New Testament are not the quiet in the land anymore. We're the ones that turn the world upside down with the testimony of Jesus. It's with the testimony of Jesus that they turned the world upside down, that they got such a reputation like that. There is no other name. There is no other gospel. There is no other religion. There is no other movement that can change the heart of a sinner but the testimony of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know the joy, maybe you can't even relate to this service this morning. Maybe you wonder what's wrong with us. Maybe those kind of thoughts were going through your mind. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. It's the testimony of Jesus. Jesus saved us. We were lost in sin. We were undone. We were going our own way. And Jesus saved us by His power through the precious blood of Jesus. And we can't get over it. And if you think we're crazy, you just don't know what we know. The testimony of Jesus changed our lives. That's why we're so funny this morning. That's why we just kept singing and singing and singing and singing. It's the testimony of Jesus. That salvation is in Him, and there is salvation in none other. Do you know this morning that the Lord Jesus can change your life from the guttermost to the uttermost? He can do that. There's enough of people in this room today that were in the gutters who can tell you He can change you from the gutter to the uttermost of His strength and power. He can do that for you. That's the testimony of Jesus. Not only that, the testimony of Jesus is the life that He lived. And by that I mean the example of His life. And God has been teaching me some things about this one, that the testimony of Jesus was the life that He lived. and showing me how clearly it is a cutting edge and a dividing edge between those who really want to live for Jesus and those that just want to go along with a nice lip profession about Jesus. Are we willing to walk the way He walked? Are we willing to live the way He lived? Are we willing to line our life up with His life? Now trust me this morning, I know we need the anointing of God's Spirit in order to line our lives up with His life. But we must be willing to line our life up with His life. Isn't that what it says in 1 John? That we ought to walk even as He walked. I think people have lost sight of that. We are to walk the way He walked. Jesus is our plumb line today. Not only is the written Word our plumb line, but the living Word is also our plumb line. What is a plumb line? Isn't that what you use in building? To make sure that everything gets built straight, that all the lines are right, that everything goes together right. Is that right, Brother Luke? Jesus is our plumb line. We take all the blocks and line it up with Him. Yes, we take them and line them up to the Word, but we also want to take them and line them up to Him. And God has been giving me some sweet meditations about that. And maybe you know it already, but you bear with me. I'm just a Baptist. And I needed to learn some things about that, about the life of Jesus. And it's been so sweet to me to meditate on His life and then take my life and line it up with His life and see how far away it is. But oh, the hunger that comes stirring within our souls when we're willing to look at His life long enough and say, I'm supposed to live like that. The way He walked, I'm supposed to walk. The way He talked, I can talk. The way He responded to the crowds, I can respond the same way. The way He responded in the midst of a busy schedule, I can respond the same way. It's been a sweet and a refreshing and an enlightening thing to me to meditate on the life that He lived. I would recommend it to you, Brother Ross. And I know you already believe this way. And I know it's already your heart. But I would recommend you fill your heart with the life of Jesus. Just fill it full. And after you have a clear revelation of the way He walked, then use it as a plumb line and line it up. Oh, I wonder how many decisions would be made for us so quickly if we just learned to do that. Lord, I have a decision I need to make. Lord, did I respond right there in that situation? Let's bring the life of Jesus up there and line it up. Oh, no, I didn't. That's not the way Jesus would have done it. God, did I say the right words there? Bring the testimony of Jesus up there. Oh, no, Lord, I didn't say the right words. That's not the way Jesus would have done it. Oh, there's some sweet meditations in that. Sweet meditations. And God can use that revelation to influence every decision we make in this room. Put Him in your chair at devotion time in the morning. Let Jesus sit there in the chair for a while and ponder. What kind of devotion would He have had with the family this morning if He would have been here? Put the magazine in His hand and see if He would have read it. Give Him the hour you spent and see how He would have spent it, the brother said this morning. How much wasted time we have flittered away. Give Him the hour and see what He would have done with it. Oh, it's so clear, isn't it? It's so simple. We don't need a college education to figure that one out, do we? It's so clear. Just superimpose Jesus right into that scene where you got upset and impatient with the children. And see how He would have responded. You see, God wants us to be transformed in His image. As we behold His image, God with His sweet finger wants to transform our lives into the same image. The image of Jesus, the image of Christ. Jesus can help us with our activities. Think with me. Picture Jesus this morning riding a three-wheeler. Can anyone do that? I can't. My Jesus wouldn't hop on one of those things and go ripping through the hillside. I can't picture it. Maybe you can. Maybe the Jesus you know would do that, but the Jesus that I know wouldn't do that. Can you see Jesus at the fair this morning? Standing in line to get on the ride? Can you? I can't. I just can't picture it. Can you see Jesus flirting with the girls after the service? I can't. I just can't picture all those things. Hand him the music you listen to. See if he pops it into the cassette player. You see how this comes right down to our own lives. The life of Jesus. Give him the cassette and see if he pops it into the tape. Hand him a guitar and some snappy music and see if he'll get up on stage and start strumming it away, singing his songs. I can't picture it. Brother Ross, take the testimony of Jesus with you. You know, Brother Aaron, you spoke about being equipped. Well, that's pretty good equipping right there. That's pretty good equipping. You know, I guess if we just get serious about that one thing, it would change so many things in our lives, wouldn't it? Books we read, places we go, things we say, things we do, what we do with our time, it would just change so many things. And it is in the Bible for us to let it examine our hearts. It is in the Bible for us to pattern after the life of Jesus and the way he walked and the way he lived. What he did with his life. What he did with his time. And lastly, the testimony of Jesus is the claims that he made. And I'd like to turn to the book of John for this. We're just going to page through the book of John here. Part of it. John chapter 6 is where we'll start. The testimony of Jesus is the claims that he made. He made some powerful claims in the book of John. You know what's interesting about the claims that he made? He started them all the same way with the words, I am. He used the unmentionable name of God. 8 times in the book of John he used that name. It caused him much trouble. One time they wanted to stone him for using those words. He used the words, I am. Remember there at the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came to him and they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, I am. And they all fell backwards. He used the unmentionable name of God. Just like God told Moses when Moses said, who shall I tell them? Father, what shall I tell them? Who shall I tell them sent me? Just tell them that I am sent you. And they knew what that meant. Well, Jesus began each one of these with I am. They were claims that he made. And there's power in that claim. What did he say? In John 6 and verse 33, we'll just read these real briefly. Not a lot before, not a lot behind, but just read them. Oh, that's not the verse. Is it 35? Yes, thank you. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The testimony of Jesus is the claims of Jesus. Oh, what a claim He could make. I am the bread of life, and if you come to Me, you'll never be hungry again. I'll satisfy your belly and you'll never hunger again. I am the bread of life. In chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. There is no other light than Me. If you'll follow Me, you'll not walk in darkness anymore, but you'll have the light of life. You'll be able to see in the midst of darkness. You'll be a bright and shining light in the midst of a dark world. I am the light of the world. The claims of Jesus. In chapter 8, verse 50, in the same chapter in verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What He was saying there was, I am, I was from the beginning, I am the eternal God. Before the foundation of the world, I was. Before Abraham was, I was. Before creation, I was. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the eternal God. Oh, such claims that Jesus made there. Before Abraham was, I am. But the testimony of Jesus is the claims that He made while He was here upon the earth. I am the door, He said. Chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before Me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. A little bit further down, He said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Chapter 11 and verse 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm going to read the rest of the verse. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those are the claims of Jesus that He made, and that's the testimony of Jesus. If you believe in Him, though you were dead, you shall live. John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The claims of Jesus. And in John chapter 15, He said, I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. What is He saying in all these claims? There's one simple thing that He says. By saying them all, we can sum them up in one thing. Jesus was saying, I am it. If you have Me, you need nothing else. I am the door. I am the light. I am the bread. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am all these things. If you'll just come to Me and receive Me and live in Me and feed off of Me, you'll need nothing else. You'll need absolutely nothing. And oh, listen, if you're here today and you don't know our Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know what life is all about. Well, that Jesus was saying by all those I ams, He was saying, all you need is Me. All in all is Jesus, and Jesus is everything, and that's all we need is Jesus. He covers the whole spectrum of life. You're discouraged? You need Jesus. Are you troubled today? You need Jesus to still the waters. Are you hurting today? Jesus can heal the wounds. Jesus is everything, and everything is in Jesus. I wish I had the poem, the song that A.B. Simpson wrote about Jesus. All in all is Jesus. Jesus is everything. Everything's in Jesus, and Jesus is everything. A.B. Simpson, where did the Christian Missionary Alliance movement come from? Somebody saw that Jesus was all he needed.
And he not only knew it here, but he knew it in his experience. And because he knew it as an experience, it was transferred into the lives of others. The testimony of Jesus is the claims that he made, but we can't stop right there. We need to take it one step further. Why were all these so persecuted for the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God? Not just because they believed these things that we've just listed here, but because they were living in the reality of the testimony of Jesus in their own lives. They were not just believing those things, but they were living those things out in their own lives. They were not just going forth with a lip profession of the very things that we said here, but it was more than that. Jesus was in them. Jesus was in them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus was alive in John, and Jesus was alive in the apostles as they went and scattered the testimony of Jesus all over Jerusalem. Jesus was alive in them, and that's why the testimony of Jesus brought persecution upon their lives. And Jesus was alive in John, and that's why the testimony of Jesus put him out on the Isle of Patmos, because he was alive inside of him, and Jesus was alive in those martyrs there, and that's why they found themselves in heaven early and gathered around the throne. And it'll be because Jesus is alive in us if we're ever going to give our blood for the blessed Savior. It'll be because Jesus is alive in us. And if He's not alive in us today, we will not bear testimony to Jesus by shedding our own blood. If He is not alive in us today, we will not die for Him when the time comes. The early church prospered by it. This is how they prospered. The apostles were full of it. And I can't help but think of the martyrs who have died. You know, as we look back in history, Fox's Book of Martyrs and Martyr's Mirror, and we see, and we can read in there how those martyrs died. You know how they died. It was because of the testimony of Jesus. They believed it. They were proclaiming it. They lived it, and they had it alive within them. And because of all those things, they could with dignity lift their voices in praise to God while the flames licked at their feet. They could proclaim with dignity the grace of God and salvation through Jesus Christ while the flames were licking at their feet. It was because of the testimony of Jesus. Oh, listen. The testimony of Jesus needs to be revived in this land where we live. It needs to be revived. It needs to be alive within each one of us. Brother Ross, you want the breath to blow upon you in Woodbury? Stay close to this testimony. There's a flow of inspiration that goes with it. There's life-changing power in it. What am I saying? I'm saying the same thing in another way. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's just another way of saying the same thing over again. It's just another way of broadening the truth, the simple truth of the gospel before our hearts again this morning. That's all I'm saying. Think about the songs. Go through the song books and see what you find. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of inspiration. Go through the song books and see what you'll find. Jesus, 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 all through the song books. How come so many people got inspired to write about Jesus? Because the testimony of Jesus is the inspiration. It's the breath of prophecy. And may I say here this morning, it's the testimony of Jesus that is the breath on the church of Jesus Christ. It's the testimony of Jesus that brings the breath. That's why the churches out there, they've got it all in order, you know. This is in line, and this is in line, and this is in line. But where's the breath? That's why there's no breath there. What about the testimony of Jesus? How often do the men get up behind the pulpit and just preach about Jesus and get thrilled about His blood? How many times do the people rise to their feet in praise to God for the blood of Jesus? It's not there. In so many churches, it's not there. And because it's not there, the breath is not there. The breath of God blowing over the congregation. It's not there. Everything's in line. But no breath. Can these bones live again? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. But it'll come by the testimony of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.